Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Alex Avila with Love University. Yes, we're back. I'm a clinical psychologist, author, and speaker. At Love University, we bring you interesting topics every week on how to love yourself, others, and a higher nature. Now, today we have a very fascinating guest, and our topic will be what I call for mature audiences, so put away the kids for now, because we're going to talk about sexuality in a very unique way. And I'd like to introduce to you Anne Gray, who is an author, consultant, and evangelist for women over 40 on sexuality for the mature woman. Welcome, Anne. How are you doing?
I'm great, Dr. Avila. It's a pleasure to be here with you today.
Yes, thanks so much. I'm very excited to have you here. And you're an author that you've written a book called Sex and the Single Girl, the slightly older guide to dominating the dating world. And you talk about women being liberated and open to sexuality and also to relationships. 30s and beyond, 30s, 40s, 50s, and so forth. Tell us a little bit about how you started this and a little bit about your background.
Of course. So this all manifested through a process that upends and turns your life upside down, which is called divorce. Of course. And my biggest fear when I knew I was going to get divorced was that going back out into the dating world was just going to be torturous. I mean, it sure wasn't fun the first time around. Now in my 40s, what was I going to do? Go out and go to bars until 2 a.m. to meet people? No, I don't think so. So what happened was I ended up through various circumstances finding out about the new world of technology and online dating apps. And I'm not talking about Match.com. I'm talking more about Tinder and Bumble and these things that exist on your phone. And I ended up having such a great experience with using these apps to basically their tools to meet people who you would never meet otherwise. I ended up having such a good experience and talking to my girlfriends who are in my same age range and asking them if they were doing it, which they weren't, because it's all kind of happened in the last few years, that I decided to write a guide for women specifically in their 40s and 50s, because I think it's a different message and a different time in our life.
I see. So basically, you're talking about the new technology, ways of meeting, and you're, in this case, men, females that are more mature and a little bit older. And you do talk about the younger man as being attracted to the older female. And we did actually a show on this a while back on the podcast, Age Gap Relationships for both men and women, dating people that are different ages. Now, in terms of the advantages, so let's say you're a mature woman. What is the advantage for you to date a younger man?
So advantages for sure are that I think biologically our sex drives align. I probably have 2 eggs left that are fighting to make life, and certainly younger men have more testosterone. So from that standpoint, it's really, it aligns very well from a sexual standpoint.
Yeah, I think in your book, you said that it takes 10 years for a male to achieve a peak testosterone level. So you're still like by their late 20s, you feel men are very strong in their sexual drive.
I do. And I think I find that kind of a perfect age to date, like 28 to 32 as a mature woman. Because, I mean, certainly you want somebody who is respectful and to also have a, hold a conversation with. You have to have common interests. You have to be friends. Mm-hmm. That age tends to work well. I will say that.
Now, Reggie, our podcast engineer, is actually in his 20s. Is that too young for you?
How young? 20.
How old are you, Reggie?
26.
Yeah, that's too young for me.
Okay. All right.
I'm telling you, 28 and above is
okay.
Where
he's a very handsome guy, very nice.
Well, I'm sure. Okay. I also find it to be good from the standpoint that men who are younger are often not particularly looking to settle down. At that point in their lives, they're still growing their careers. They're still climbing the corporate ladders, doing whatever they do to hustle their careers. And I find that women who are just divorced also may be in a position where they're not particularly looking for something serious, also have their own careers, also have busy lives. And so that kind of aligns as well, which is nice.
Okay. Because you mentioned also they're more physically fit. And I think it's something like they probably may not have children or other, so-called baggage, ex-wives and things like that. So you find that to be a plus.
That's a big plus. Honestly, I have tried to date men my own age a few times, and it's been nothing but disaster.
Oh. Well, you know something? We have some of our older males audiences are probably thinking, wait a minute, I'm a vital guy in my older years.
Do
you ever counsel women to date different ages, or is it mainly the younger men?
Of course. No, I would say date whatever you're attracted to, whatever you whatever you seek, whatever you want. For me, it just happened to be a miraculous discovery that younger men, I'm not saying all younger men, but a good chunk of younger men are interested in older women. And that was just somewhat of a revelation for me.
Is that, I mean, there are shows on that nowadays, right? It's becoming a popular trend in some ways.
It is. That new show that's called Younger, I guess not so new. Yeah, I've discovered that recently, and I'm like, yep, that's about right.
And the term, they use the term cougar. I mean, how do you see that? Do you think it's derogatory, or what's your take on that terminology?
Yeah, a little bit. It's not the most flattering term.
Okay. How would you classify it? Let's say, what would be a nice term for you, for a woman that likes a younger man, a mature woman?
I think it could be described as a very modern relationship.
Oh, okay. Modern.
Modern.
That's interesting. Okay. Yeah, and modern in terms of what sense? You mean like technology-wise, the way that you guys meet? Or what's the modern part about it?
Sure, there's that. But also I think it's just evolved. I mean, if you look at the not so new anymore, but the president of France, his wife is 20-some years his senior.
Okay.
I think that it's possible. I mean, I don't talk about love a lot in my book, and I'm not really seeking that myself, but I do think like a real relationship is possible, with this kind of an arrangement. And I just think it, could align very well. And I think it's quite modern. I think, if you look at celebrities, you look at Demi Moore, you look at Madonna. I mean, Madonna famously said that older men are not dateable.
Okay, well, you're making a few friends, but a few enemies too. But
I know, that's okay. They're not for everyone.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, I think Jennifer Lopez, Susan Sarandon, married a younger man. And
yes,
but I mean, you're talking about two things. One is sexual fulfillment and having fun, and the other would be like a long-term love relationship. Do you feel it can work in both areas? I mean, can a younger man and an older woman fall in love and, stay happily married?
I have actually had a really kind of serious relationship with a younger man, as a result of everything that I've, explored in terms of these dating apps. I would say anything is possible. I really would. I say modern too, because it's not normal in society. It's not what society is telling us to do. Society is telling us to marry somebody our own age, our own religion, our own, kind of made up with somebody that makes sense in our lives. And I would say it's modern to date someone outside of your age range and perhaps even outside of your culture and religion, like that the world is a really kind of small place now. And it's interesting in life to explore that.
It's very interesting. So you're talking like almost a melting pot dating where, people from all backgrounds, maybe can find each other, whether it's for, sex or for love. And did mention that you lived in Sweden, and Sweden is more of a open-minded aspect to sexuality. You said people live together instead of getting married and things like that.
It's really interesting.
What was your experience in Sweden? What did you see that is different from, let's say, we're here in the U.S., but our podcast is worldwide.
Sure.
So we have fans in Europe as well. But let's say, looking at it from a different perspective, how would you find that in Sweden?
It was absolutely eye-opening. I mean, they even have a whole word for it. You don't say you're married. You say you're sambod.
Sambo.
Sambo. Yeah, S-A-M-B-O. You have a sambo. And often these don't work out, but they seem really healthy relationships where two people are together. They don't get married. They have children. It works out or it doesn't, but everybody kind of lives more peacefully and harmoniously. It seemed to me, that was my perspective, having just gotten married when I moved to Sweden. That was actually the beginning of my marriage, which was interesting. Uh-huh. But also what was interesting was there was, we had friends who thought nothing of letting their 16, 17, 18-year-old child have someone from the opposite sex sleep over. And they full well knew that they were having sexual relations. And that was absolutely fine. They were very open to that. So, you know, much different take than we have in some conservative areas of the United States, which is how I grew up.
And, you know, in Love University, we talk about love in many ways, loving yourself, others, and a higher nature. And of course, sexuality is a very important part of love. And emotional connections are also valuable for certain people. And we'd also talk about personality types. You know, some individuals, male or female, are what we call the feelers, who are more emotional and they crave, you know, intimacy. And others are more logical, that, you know, they can have sex and, you know, and go on to the next person without being too attached. So I'm wondering if your clientele base, and I know you're a coach, right? You coach women, mature women.
I do.
Do you ever find women that are feelers that tell you, look, I really want to find love, even though I'm, you know, I'm in my later years? Does that happen to you? Or is it mainly they just want to have fun and sexual adventures?
No, I do find women, of course, even ones that are recently divorced who immediately want to start looking for their next husband. And, you know, I have to respect that. It's free to do what you want in this life, of course. But the majority of my clients are ones who perhaps were raised in a bit of a more conservative culture and are looking to me more for permission. There's so much shame around sex, and especially sex outside of marriage, outside of a committed relationship, that they really are interested and drawn to what I have to say about, you know, being free to explore your sexuality. So, I mean, that's kind of where I'm at with that, or where my clients are. Yes. Yeah.
And do you feel that, is this an exploratory sexual stage they go through after divorce, where they might, you know, want to have multiple partners and explore and then maybe find someone? Or do you feel this is a lifelong pattern that they choose? Like, you know, I just want to, you know, have different sexual partners and just enjoy. What's the pattern that you see more common?
I think it really varies. I would say more women want to find a partner and settle down eventually, although those first few years after divorce can certainly be exploratory. But, you know, I do see a good handful of women who, after they, you know, kind of talk through and get comfortable with the idea of it being okay to not have a partner, to have a very full and rich life on their own, but to have men in their lives so that they can have sexual fulfillment as well, is, again, I'll say the word modern. You know, it's a new way to look at living your life. And it's quite, you know, I basically tell women that being single is okay. And there's so many people who are just relationship. That's all they want to talk about. That's all they think they need. And my big message is that being single can be a really rich and rewarding life. Of course, you're not alone. You're single.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. So you're basically giving women options in love and sex. And, you know, we talk about loving yourself first. I think you spend a lot of time in your book, I noticed, talking about that.
And
empowering women, you know, to really, you know, feel that they are valuable and they can enjoy life, even if they don't have a partner.
Of course.
I think that's a good message. Now, let me ask you now, from the male perspective, let's say a younger male in this case, what is the advantage for him to be with an older woman?
Well, I hear quite often that it's really refreshing to be with an older woman. Of course, we have more experience sexually, so they're interested in that. But beyond that, there's not a need to be, there's no expectations, I guess. It's much more freeing and easy for them to be in this type of relationship because there's no thinking about the next level. There's no thinking about what happens next. It tends to be much more in the moment. And it tends to be, you know, much more friendships and good sex. Which they find refreshing because if they're dating women their own age, of course, there's an agenda to get married and have babies. And they find it really refreshing to be with someone who's not interested in that.
Yeah, because I think one of your chapters says, I don't want your babies and I don't want your money.
That's right.
I want your body or I want your time, or how would you say it?
Yeah, I mean, when you get to be a woman of a certain age, you have your own money. You've made your own money. That's the thing too. Like it's no, you know, sometimes in the beginning, and honestly, for some women in their 40s and 50s, it still is about finding a man with money, which I just, that breaks my heart. I really think that in this day and age, women need to be self-sufficient. That should not be part of the equation. And I think that leads to a lot of unhappy marriages, to be honest. But Regardless, I think that that you know women should be and are okay, you know, okay with all of this and just being single and enjoying their lives.
I also think you mentioned that the younger man likes a full-figured woman, like the mature woman has a maybe a full figure. Is there something to that part of it?
Well, that was a big discovery for me. I mean, I can't tell you how much of my life I've spent worried about those. You know, last it used to be 20 pounds and now it's about 40 pounds that I could easily lose.
Okay.
And you know what? The men that I've had in my life have zero issue with that, like zero. No one has ever said that. Everyone has just been really, really attracted to a fuller figure. And I know that that's not the same for everyone. But I will say that that's not something that should, and it's something that as a woman in your 40s and 50s, like, listen, you know, you're not getting any younger. You know, it's time to stop like trying to be something that you aren't. It's time to embrace who you are. And if men like it, great. And if they don't, that's fine too. And that's the thing about these dating apps is you include a full body shot of yourself in these dating apps. And if people swipe right on it, that means they like that. So it's a really no risk situation in terms of meeting somebody. If you're a little heavier than you want to be, I mean, they're choosing you.
Yeah. Now, you know, in my approach to personality types and love, we talk about the compatibility of different personalities. And I think one thing that you mentioned is that an older a female or a woman can offer a sense of wisdom and maybe knowledge to a younger man and maybe, you know, offer him some intellectual components that may be missing. Do you
For
find
sure.
that to be the case also?
I find that to be the case, but I also find that my preference specifically is to choose men who are also fairly intellectual. So that's just, I mean, that's just something that I need and that I seek.
So younger graduate MIT kind of guy. Maybe.
Correct. Oh my gosh. I mean, consultant, if it says consultant, if it says school, if it says MIT, if it says, you know, yeah, lawyers, I mean.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah. It's, I think that, an intellectual, connection is really important to a lot of women.
Let me ask you something. Let's say that you want to give advice to a woman in her middle years. Let's say, you know, 40 years old. She just turned 40.
Yeah.
And maybe she's recently single and you know, maybe comes from a conservative background like some of them do. What's your advice to her in terms of her sexual fulfillment and also, you know, also emotional fulfillment in the dating world?
Sure. Well, I would say the most important shift that happens as you're dating as an older woman is it's possible to date without a checklist. I think when I was in my 20s, I very much had a checklist. And I even remember this book called The Rules. Do you remember that?
Oh, The Rules. Okay. So
there were the rules. There were rules. And you had a checklist. And you had, you know, what you were looking for. And every man that you dated.
What was your checklist? Tall, dark, handsome, MIT graduate?
You know,
how would you say?
Yeah. You know, I would say it was educated. It was has a good job. It was, you know, similar background, similar religion. Oh gosh, I don't even remember. That was 20 years ago, 25 years ago, right? So it was all these things that were, you know, similar interests. You know, I mean, not all bad things, but the thing is now in your 40s, you can go on a date and just enjoy it for what it is. Just enjoy the person in front of you and getting to know somebody differently. You know, it's somebody different. And I just think it's so brilliant the way that technology has evolved so that you can really, truly meet someone outside your circle. And again, I'll go back to dating someone from a different culture or a different religion, like how fascinating to open yourself up to that and learn something new. I mean, honestly, I learn things when I'm dating and like multitasking while I'm dating, but there's no checklist. There's no end in mind. It's more about like mindful dating.
I like that. You know, I really like that concept of mindfulness, like you're saying, or no checklist. You know, we have a term here in Love University. We call it give loving energy without expectation. In other words,
that's
be
fair.
Kind to others, you know, smile, say hello, you know, maybe even, you know, open a conversation and, you know, without
Absolutely.
Expecting that the person will like you back or anything will happen, but it's just that you have this energy inside you and you want to like express it. And it sounds like you have a little bit of that as your philosophy as well with these.
Absolutely. Meals. I mean, I think anything can happen, but it's so much easier to approach it that way. And of course, we're more mature as well now, you know, in our 40s. And it's just such a different angle to come from than when you're in your 20s and you're thinking you want to meet your husband, you want to have babies and the white picket fence and whatever else your dreams and hopes are. In your 40s, you know, you have you're making your own money, you're doing your own thing, you have your career, you have your friends, you have your life together. I mean, not everyone, but you know, hopefully that's a place where you've gotten to at this point in your life. So it's really not it's not necessary to not be open. I mean, I recommend to my clients all the time just to be open to the possibility, be open to what's in front of you, be open to something different, be open to learning something new. I recommend that in all areas of their life. As you know, in my book, I talk about more than just dating and sex. I talk about living a real full life.
Yeah. And one of the things I liked about it at the end, I think toward the book, you said some of the tips for a single mature woman. Now, you said, first of all, dine alone, find a nice restaurant you can enjoy, and even go to the movies alone on a Saturday morning where there's not many people. Now, some people might say that sounds a little bit lonely, but what is your take on that? Why would you want women to dine alone or go to movies alone?
Oh, my gosh. It's about doing what you want to do when you want to do it. I mean, that is the freedom that we have as women in our 40s and 50s. It's really true freedom to live and do whatever you want. I just think that at this point in our lives, you know, we're not getting any younger. So do live your life how you want to live it. Like, don't be conforming to societal norms. Don't be conforming to what your family tells you. Do what you want to do. That is a huge message.
So if you want to see that Terminator 5 movie at 10 a.m. in the morning,
go for it
on Saturday and have something to drink.
Go anytime you want. Yeah, okay, absolutely.
Right. Action movies, whatever you want, right? In a sense, you can do, right? Have fun.
You can. Yeah. I mean, your life is yours to live. Mm-hmm. And the thing that makes me sad is women who are still like pining away for their next marriage or their next, like, they can't sort out a way just to be happy. Mm-hmm. And so that's, it's this whole stigma around being single as an older woman. Are you an old maid? What is wrong with you? Why aren't you married anymore? These kinds of norms make me really crazy because I think it's a brilliant way to live.
That's an interesting point. So you are definitely empowering a woman. And one thing that you talk about, I think, in the book also is use your best dishes when at home and wear your best jewelry. Yeah. So you're telling them, even if I have nowhere to go or nowhere to be with, I can still look great and feel great at home.
Absolutely. Yes.
And 100%. What's the advantage of that? What pleasure does a woman have to look her best at home?
Well, I think that looking your best is for you. It doesn't need to be for anybody else. You know, and it's also okay to stay in your sweatpants all day if you want to. But I think that doing really lovely things for yourself. I mean, one of my favorite things to do is buy myself flowers every week. And I do, because I love having fresh flowers in my home, you know, because I can, because I don't need a man to do that for me. You know, it's really, it's just about living a really lovely life.
That's really nice. So you can send yourself flowers and even put by your secret admirer, which is really you.
You could.
Right?
I generally pick them up at Trader Joe's, but we could do that for sure.
That's nice. Nice. Or how about friends? I mean, maybe your female friends send each other flowers, you know, and kind of like as a nice little group or something.
Right. Yeah, absolutely could.
That's good. So basically, you know, improving your everyday life, I think is what you're saying. And
enjoying it. Or just, enjoying it, embracing it, and not trying to, you know, not too hard to make it something that it's not. And with that, I will say that if you do approach dating with a super open mind, with the intention of just, you know, learning and embracing whatever man is in front of you in the moment, I'm not saying that love can't happen, because it has for me, and I believe it can happen. But I would say that shouldn't be so much focus of the end goal. The end goal should be you are single, you have your own life, you have your stuff together, and you know, you're fine. You're absolutely fine the way you are right now.
Yeah. So loving yourself, which again is one of our main points here at Love University, And then, of course, you can extend the love outwards and attract someone that may resonate with your style, right? And that could be a great companion. Now, and I'll have to tell you the truth. I like to put things to a test. You know, I come from a research background in psychology, and I'm a professor as well. So to find out if this works, I'm going to ask engineer Reggie, 25-year-old young man. Reggie, would you go out with the older woman?
I'd have to beat her.
Okay, so tell me more about that.
Well, it would depend on how we connect, how what I find attractive about her. You know, like, I mean, I can't really say off the bat, no, I would not do that. You know.
Okay, so you'll be open to dating a woman that's a little bit older than you, for, you know, a more mature woman that has more knowledge.
If I feel we're a match, then why not?
Well, look at that. You have a testimonial here. You have an endorsement.
I know. Well, yeah. I mean, I'm telling you, this happens all the time in my life.
Yeah, it's a very, very smart young man here.
I know. I'm impressed.
Yeah, is that good? So basically, Anne, I really like what you're talking about. You know, you really are trying to empower women. And of course, you are working with a certain segment of the population that, you said, may not want a relationship right now in a certain age range. However, you know, you say you're open to them dating anybody, right? Or, you know, within a certain characteristic, right? You know, being open to different things.
Yeah, I mean, I say in my book that I personally had great experiences with younger men, but, you know, you can find anything that you want out there in this big world. So, you know, whatever you're looking for, you can kind of find through these apps on technology.
What do you think about the value of having pets, like a dog or a cat? Is that helpful for people?
Well, I don't talk about that at all, but I have a cat, and honestly, I don't know what I'd do without her.
Oh, really? Do you love your cat? Wait a minute. Is she an older or younger cat?
Well, actually, funny enough, we're the same age, cat-wise and human-wise.
There you go. You have a same-age relationship with your cat.
She's a middle-aged cat lady, too. So, I think pets are incredible, incredible companions. And I honestly don't know how I would have gotten through my divorce or any of it without, you know.
Yeah, for the affection and the unconditional love, right, that they give you.
Yeah, like talking to her. Yeah, she knows everything.
Okay. As long as she doesn't talk back, and if she does, then you have to see me after a class, right, or something.
Sorry. No, pets are wonderful companions. I do recommend them, for sure.
That could be a good element to add, I guess, maybe to your coaching, right?
Yeah.
Have them get a pet, you know, as a companion.
Yes, they are. Yeah, they're wonderful.
And plus, they can probably meet gentlemen, right? Some guy may have a Saint Bernard, and you have a poodle or something. Right?
It's interesting because she does react to different men, which is
Okay.
Yeah, once in a while she won't like somebody, and it's like, okay. Noted.
So you got to figure out what kind of cat the guy likes, right? Maybe he likes Siberian Husky or something.
Maybe they don't like cats, and then that's a whole thing. So, that's, you know.
You've been a very delightful guest, and I want to ask you, what adventures do you have? Any kind of upcoming things you're working on career-wise that you're excited about that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I am excited about something very much, but unfortunately I can't share it.
Oh.
It's like that top secret. I know. Okay. I really want to tell you right now, but I can't. I know.
Okay.
I will have to drop you an email.
Is it a project you're working on, like, for related to your business or something else?
It is related to my business. Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead.
When do you feel that's going to come to fruition? Maybe we can have you back when that's coming out.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh my gosh, that would be fantastic. I feel that it might come to fruition in the next 3 to 6 months.
Okay, beautiful. Any personal goals? Do you want to, you know, eventually have a relationship? Do you want to travel? Anything like that?
Oh, traveling is wonderful. And in fact, that's one of my very favorite things is to use dating apps to meet men as I'm traveling.
Ooh, okay.
I mean, why not? So actually I have a good friend that I met in London a couple of years ago, and we still stay in touch every other week at least. So that's really nice. So yeah, when I travel, I love to travel, and I love to meet men from other cultures.
So I guess that you can write a book, the Traveler's Guide to Dating Apps. That could be your next
book. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, Tinder is used worldwide, so it's pretty cool.
All right. Well, Anne, can you tell us anywhere readers can get a hold of you, listeners, the website or anything that you have?
Absolutely. So everything about me can be found at annegray.com, which is ANNEGREY.com. That has links to my book, which is available on Amazon. And it also has links to sign up for my email list and to sign up for my coaching service. I have pretty reasonable rates for one-on-one coaching where I can do a one-off or I can spend a few sessions with you trying to get your dating app set up and just talking generally about, you know, how things have changed in the dating world and empowering you to go out and date without a checklist.
Beautiful. Well, Anne, it's been a pleasure having you here. And again, if anyone wants to reach us at Love University for questions for today's show or in the future, we do have a website, loveuniversity.love. You can email us at lovetype4u@aol.com, which is LOVETYPE, the number 4, letter U at AOL.com, and also call us at 310-226-8090. Anne, it's been a wonderful pleasure, and we look forward to talking to you maybe in the future when you have your big project coming to fruition.
I will let you know. Thank you so much.
And keep empowering women, and that's you're doing a wonderful job. So until next time, this is Love University. Put away your pencils and pens, and we'll see you next time.